Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening again today with another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bound privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to meet together by means of radio and study from God's precious Word. I hope whatever you're doing today, you could kind of just slow down the pace a little bit, get your Bible if it's at all possible, and study with us as we open the Word of God together. We're continuing the message that I began on last week from Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 7, 8, and 9. The Word of God said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse number 8 said, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And then in verse number 9, the Word of God said, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I began a message last week looking at this passage of Scripture on God's plan of sowing and reaping, God's law of the harvest, and then what missions and a mission meeting will do for the local church. And I want to take quite a bit of time on the broadcast today as we begin a new week and just review what we studied last week from the Word of God, and then we'll move on in the broadcasts that are to come. But I began last Monday by sharing with you in verse number 7, we're introduced to God's law of the harvest. Let me just say, I'm aware of the fact when this text is read from Galatians chapter number 6, most of the time you're expecting the man of God to deal with somebody's sin. He's going to bring his message from the first part of verse number 8, where the Bible said, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." But when you leave these verses in their context and deal with them, then we have God's law of the harvest. And we know from the study of the Word of God that God likens this sowing to our giving and then our receiving to reaping. And so we looked at this, we started studying on God's law of the harvest and then see what it will do in the local church. We found out, first of all, that in God's law of the harvest, that you reap what you sow. I mentioned to you this is true both in the natural as well as in the spiritual. In the natural realm, you've never planted beans and gathered squash. You never planted cucumbers and gathered okra. You reap what you sow. And then that's true also in the spiritual realm. The little lad had a basket of lunch. In that basket of lunch, he had bread and fish, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gave that lunch to the Lord, and the Lord looked at that as him sowing that lunch. And then later on, he would reap 12 baskets. What would they have in them? Bread and fish. Hannah gave her child to the Lord. God looked at that as her sowing him in the Lord's harvest. And so God turned around, and she reaped 5 other children. So in God's law of the harvest, you reap what you sow. Then second, we learned, you not only reap what you sow, but you reap after you sow. A lot of people would stand by and look at the work of God and say, "Well, if God would just give me a lot of money, if I had some extra money, then I'd give it to missions and the cause of Christ." That's like me standing beside of my garden and saying, "If you'd produce, I'd plant." You see, God's law is you sow first and then you reap after you sow. If you want to have more, to give more to missions and the cause of Christ, then you must learn to sow some of what you've got. Give a portion of that God has already blessed you with to the cause of missions. And God likens that to our sowing. And you reap what you sow. Then you reap after you sow. And then thirdly, we learned that you reap more than you sow. And again, I must deal with the fact there are those who would say, "I don't think you ought to give to get." But I remind you, the Lord Jesus Christ said in the book of Luke chapter number 6, verse number 38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men heap into your bosom." Now, again, please let me emphasize, we are not talking about giving to get rich as far as our selfish motives are concerned. But we're speaking, as God lays it out in the Word of God, the method of whereby we can be able to give more money to the cause of missions. You see, we give a little, God blesses us with more, and then we give more, and God blesses us with yet more. And on it goes, and there's no end to what God can give back to us in the principle of sowing and reaping. And again, I emphasize, we are not speaking about some fleshly monetary gain that we might just profit in the flesh, but we're talking about a plan whereby God would finance the missions program in the church when the church learns that principle. To say that I don't think you ought to give to get would be simply to say I don't think you ought to sow to reap. I don't plant my garden to let it hang there and rot, let it go to waste. I enjoy it. So you reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, you reap more than you sow, and then you reap according to how much you sow. The Bible said that he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So friend, get a hold of that. Let it get a hold of your heart. God's law of the harvest, the unbreakable law of God. You reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you do reap according to how much you sow. And again, I emphasize, God did this. It's not my idea, but God likens our giving to sowing. Then God likens our receiving to reaping. And so in the manner of missions, God lays down the principle of sowing and reaping as a method of his people giving to missions, God giving back to them more than they give so they can give more and more and finance a mission program that reaches around the world with the gospel of the grace of our God. God allowed me to get in on this truth in 1974. We had a man of God come to our church and preach a mission conference, and he laid out this principle. God worked a work of grace in my heart that transformed my life, and it transformed the life of our church. Our church got a hold of it, and it's amazing what it happens when a group of God's people get a hold of the law of God in this matter of sowing and reaping. Then in verse number 8, we learned that we have two fields that we might sow in. We can sow in the field of the flesh, or we can sow in the field of the Spirit. If we sow in the field of the flesh, then we will reap corruption. But if we sow in the field of the Spirit, then we will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there are two fields that we sow in, and there are two fruits that are produced, one of the two, according to which one we sow in. If you sow to your flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I want to say again, it was a blessed day in my life when I learned that I did not have to sow to the flesh, but I have the wonderful privilege of spending my life sowing in the service of God. And then God takes the seed that are sown, multiplies them, uses them in the work of God, and I get the reward at the judgment seat of Christ. So let me ask you today, which field are you sowing in? With what God has blessed you, your life, your substance? Are you sowing to the flesh? Are you sowing to the Spirit? There's no way to break God's law. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And again, let me emphasize, that does not mean that I am saved by my sowing. No, that would make my salvation by works. But others will be saved by my sowing, just as I was saved because someone else sowed, somebody else gave, somebody else brought the gospel to me. And I'm born again because somebody else sowed to the Spirit. So I want to spend my time, my money, my resources, sowing to the Spirit, not to the flesh, but sowing to the Spirit and reaping life everlasting to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as the broadcast unfolded last week, we started looking at several things that a mission meeting will do for the local church. Now, I want you to hear me, please, and I say it in a spirit of kindness and tenderness, but I'm convinced that every church needs a mission meeting, a time when you set aside a series of meetings where some man of God who understands the Bible principles of mission and has a touch of God upon him and a burden of God upon him concerning missions to come to that church and teach them and preach to them the principles laid down in the Word of God about giving. There's a lot of people that are doing the best they know how. They're doing the best they can. But you will never go far without knowledge. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And when the people of the church learn the truth about giving as it's taught in the Word of God, then, my friend, there's no end to what can be accomplished through that church obeying the Word of God. I was led of the Holy Spirit back in 1973 as I was about to change pastors. Before I ever changed churches, the Holy Spirit moved upon my heart to have a mission conference, bring a man in, and teach us and lead us into scriptural giving and scriptural principles of missions. We did that, and God transformed that church and transformed my life by doing so. What a blessing it is to know when you give that you're sowing in the field of God and that you're going to reap a harvest. And God will not violate his law. You will reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. You reap more than you sow. But then you reap according to how much you sow. And as we started looking at what a missions meeting will do for that local church, somebody said, "Preacher, why should my church have a mission conference? There may be some pastor who listens today. And I don't take it my position to tell a pastor how to pastor his church, but maybe some man of God listens today." And you say, "Brother Blue, why should my church have a mission conference? What would it do for my church?" I want to tell you again, most church members look at missions as somebody that coming to our church, getting our money, going their way, and doing their thing. And they take it as though missions takes away from that local church. All they see is giving, giving, giving. But a right Bible understanding of missions will cause your people to realize that missions does not take away from the church, but missions opens up many wonderful doors of opportunity for God to work through that local church. And I gave several thoughts on the broadcast last week. We found, first of all, that a missions meeting will increase the faith of the local church. You say, "Now, preacher, how could a mission meeting increase the faith of the people at the church that I go to?" Let me give you three things. Number one, the faith of the people will be increased by the expounding of scriptures. As that man of God, with a touch of God upon his life, opens the Word of God and preaches to the people of God, then God will produce faith in their heart through the expounding of scriptures. We learn, second, that the faith will be increased by the experiences that are shared. As the missionaries and others who will be present in the service share what God has done for them, then there's something that rises up inside the church member and said, "Wait a minute, God loves me as much as he loves him, and if God would do that for him, God would do it for me." So the faith is built by the expounding of scriptures, by the experiences that are shared, and then thirdly, the faith is built by the expressions of satisfaction. To see the joy that is in the life of a missionary will do something to the average church member. In fact, I encourage churches, if they can, when they have a mission meeting, bring in the missionary families. Have them to stay throughout the entire meeting. Let your people eat with them and mingle with them and fellowship with them and sense their burden and see their blessing, and let God transfer the burden of missions from the missionary to the heart of the people. Then let God transfer the blessing from the life of the missionary to the life of the people. When they see how God makes the missionary happy, serving God oftentimes in adverse circumstances, then God works something in the life of that people. If they can be happy, why can I not be happy? So missions at a mission meeting will build the faith of the local church. Well, our time is gone. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that we have of gathering by the radio and studying the Word of God together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We're on several radio stations and picking up new ones as the Lord enables us to do so, and I need to hear from you. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. Tell others about the broadcast. And until the next broadcast, God bless you, is my prayer.
Way, it's growing.